Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode 362. Just want to let everybody know that last week we talked with Jamie Paul Lamb about his new book, Myth, Magic, and Masonry. It was a fantastic episode. If you didn't get a chance to check that episode out, go back and do that. What a wonderful interview we had, and it was just so awesome to get to talk to the man. I recently got the book and started diving into it. Pretty fantastic. I think a really well done book. So check that out. This week kind of has a theme, the Masonic apron. So we've got a couple pieces to read on that. In the news this week, not a whole lot going on. Want to give a shout out to the Scottish Rite Research Society. Just got the latest volume of Heardom, which, man, it's a big one this time of year. And I really look forward to digging into that. So big shout out to the Scottish Rite Research Society for publishing this year's transactions. This year's Heardom is pretty awesome.
The Whence Came You podcast is brought to you through the generous support of Masonic Revival, contemporary Masonic designs made for today's Freemason. You don't have to settle for throwing a plain old square and compass on anything anymore. Now you get something truly designed and truly wonderful. Whether it's aprons, awesome pins, and wonderful neckwear, bow ties, ties, pocket squares, you name it, Masonic Revival has it. Head on over to MasonicRevival.com and check out what they have to offer. And make sure if you see Brother Edgar, tell him thanks for helping bring this program to all of you. And this program is also brought to you by all of you, those of you who support this program. We can't do it without you and your donations and all of your assistance, so thank you so much. To find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. There you can make direct donations, sign up to be a monthly contributor, a fellow, or even a producer. And thanks very much to everybody for donating.
So let's go ahead and get right into this week's first piece. And this one isn't very long. It's just something that I put together very quickly when I ran into an issue a few years ago. And it starts off with a meme that I made, and it shows a Masonic apron, and it says, pro tip, it's not just for your burial. It's yours to wear throughout an honorable life. It's for when you die, brother. They put it in or over your coffin. So make sure your family knows where it is. This is one of the biggest misconceptions affecting our Blue Lodge members nationwide. Every time I am attending a Master Mason degree and occasionally an Entered Apprentice degree, when the candidate is given or presented his apron, he is told after the meeting that he should keep it safe and not wear it because it's for his death. This just isn't true. In Illinois, anyway, if the entire lecture is given when presented, we tell the candidate that it is, quote, yours to wear throughout an honorable life. That means you should wear it. I've mentioned this on more than one occasion, and sometimes I get this retort, but RJ, we're told to keep it unspotted from the world. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what it means. What that means is to make sure to keep your life morally correct in the eyes of those who know you're a Freemason, lest you tarnish the brand. Bottom line, brothers, is that the apron you are given in Lodge is definitely okay for you to wear to any meeting that you want, anytime. Of course, if you consciously want to keep that apron saved, that's your choice. But let's start to correct this misconception now. Take pride and wear that awesome white leather apron at your next meeting. I'm sure this may stir up some contention, not unlike the undying points in or points out, but unlike that debate, this one is not up for debate. It's right there in the ritual. Illinois, Preston Webb, anyway. So see you all in Lodge, brothers. All right. That was just a taste of the major meat of the episode. This next piece is called The Apron, Distinguishing Badge of a Mason by Matthew Hoth from Lodge of the Quest number 587, Victoria, Australia. The Apron, Distinguishing Badge of a Mason. Why do we wear an apron, and what is its significance? Our order is founded on operative masonry, and operative masons, in common with most other artisans, wear aprons for the protection of their clothing. Different trades used different types of aprons, each suitable for the purpose. Originally, the entered apprentice wore an apron with the bib secured with a tape around his neck. The bib was to protect the upper part of his clothing. when clasping a heavy stone, such as a pillar, with both arms. Later, as he became proficient in his trade, he became an artisan, and his job was then to smooth and prepare the stone for its place in the building. He then had no use for the upper portion of this apron, so he let it hang down over the lower part. Thus, we have our badge with a triangular piece overlapping the square portion. There are several explanations of this triangular position of the apron, all or any of which may be correct, but the following seems the most logical of them. The significance of the apron is servitude. Certain dignitaries of the Anglican Church wear an apron as part of their clerical dress. Thus, a person signifies the service that is expected of a Freemason to his neighbor. When investing the entered apprentice with the badge, he is informed that it is more ancient than the golden fleece and more honorable than the star and garter. The main object of this paper is to tell you something of these orders. First, the wording of the investiture was compiled in about 1717 in the Grand Lodge of England, or its lodges, and was revised in 1813. The Golden Fleece. According to Greek legend, King Peleus of Thessaly had ousted his brother Aeson, and to rid himself of Aeson's son, Jason, he persuaded the lad to fetch the Golden Fleece, which hung on an oak tree at Ares in Colchis. It was guarded by a dragon. The adventures of Jason and his 50 companions who sailed with him to make one of the finest stories of Greek literature. The fleece came from the mythical ram on which Phrixus and Hele escaped from death, and was hung in the grove at Ares by Phrixus, who alone survived the flight from his native land. The Order of the Golden Fleece was founded by Philip the Good, Duke of Burgundy, in January 1429 on occasion of his marriage to Isabella, daughter of King John I of Portugal. The order was instituted for the protection of the Catholic Church. The fleece was chosen as the emblem because wool was the predominant product of the lower European countries in which the order flourished. The number of knights and the order was 24. In 1433, the number was raised to 33, all gentlemen by birth. In 1477, on the marriage of Mary of Burgundy with Duke Maximilian, the grand mastership of the order passed to the House of Habsburg. The last chapter of the original order was held by Philip II of Spain in the Cathedral of Ghent. Up to that time, the knights had filled the vacancies by their own votes, but Philip II obtained permission of Pope Gregory XIII to nominate the knights himself. After the Spanish Netherlands were ceded to Austria in 1713-1714, the Austrians claimed the office. The resulting dispute split the order into two parts, one in Austria and one in Spain. The jewel of the order, which differs slightly in the two countries, is a golden ram, hanging from a ring, which is passed around its middle. This is suspended from a scroll in very elaborate design with the motto in Latin, "The reward of labor is not trifling." The jewel, in turn, is attached to a golden collar made up of links. Each link is in the form of a capital letter B with rays issuing from it. The collar is usually worn with full dress. On ordinary occasions, a broad red ribbon collar is worn in its place. Since its inception, this order has been considered as the most important and highest of all civil orders on the European continent. The order has no standing in England. Hence, we hear little of it. No British subject is permitted to accept this, or any other foreign order, without special permission from the sovereign. At this time, in the dispute over the order between Austria and Spain in 1714, speculative masonry was gaining a firm footing, and its ritual was then revised and prominence given to the Golden Fleece. The Roman Eagle. The Roman Eagle also has an interesting story. The eagle was highly esteemed among the Romans. It was usually depicted with the outstretched wings, sometimes of gold and silver, but mostly of bronze. It was carried at the head of a staff in the same manner as a banner. The eagle, borne upon a spear, appears to have been used first by the Persians. The Romans took the idea from them and used it as an emblem of honor to be carried before the chief ruler. In 1804, Napoleon had metal eagles carried before his army. Austria and Russia both had double eagles as a symbol of their empires. The symbol of the United States of America is that of a bald eagle. In 1701, Frederick I of Prussia founded the Order of the Black Eagle. The number of knights was limited to 30, exclusive of the princes of the royal blood. The revisers of the rituals probably selected the reference to the Roman Eagle as it was the highest emblem of dignity, honor, and power of that famous empire. Order of the Garter. The Order of the Garter is, of course, something we know more about, being a British order. It is the highest order of knighthood in Great Britain and is considered the most honorable and exclusive in the world. Its full title is, quote, unquote, the most noble order of the Garter. According to tradition, King Edward III, who was dancing with the Countess of Salisbury at a ball held on January 18, 1343, picked up a blue garter that had dropped from her leg and tied it around his own. Observing the Queen's uneasy glances and the consternation of the Countess, he returned it to its owner with the remark, "Evil be to him who evil thinks." At this time, the King had been successful in the French campaign and was contemplating a second expedition. He resolved to institute an order of the knighthood in honor of his success, as well as a means of rewarding his army favorites. He placed the order under the protection of Saint George. For 179 years, it remained practically as instituted by Edward III. But in 1522, Henry VIII revised the statutes. The color of the emblem was blue, which at that time was the French national color. The motto translated, "Let him be dishonored who think ill of it," was appropriate, whether applied to French expedition or to the order itself. Formerly, the knights were elected by the members, but since the reign of George III, all appointments have been made by the reigning sovereign. Originally, it was called the Order of St. George. It now consists of the sovereign, who is the Grand Master, the Prince of Wales, and 25 knight companions. In addition, it is open to all English princes, lineal descendants of George I, and foreign sovereigns as may be chosen by the king or queen. On occasion, other companions are admitted for special reasons, so that the whole order usually numbers about 50. The insignia consists of a garter, the collar, and the Great George, the star, the ribbon and badge, or Lesser George. The garter is of blue velvet ribbon, the particular tint being known as garter blue. The ribbon is edged with gold and fastened by gold buckles on the left leg below the knee. It bears the motto of the order in letters of gold, or sometimes in diamonds. When the sovereign is a woman, it is worn on the left arm above the elbow. The collar consists of 25 pieces, alternately gold love knots and buckled garters, enameled in blue, enclosing roses. From the center link of the collar hangs the badge of the Great George. It is the figure of St. George as a knight in gold enamel and set with jewels. He is depicted on horseback, overthrowing the dragon with a spear. A star was added by Charles I in 1692. It consists of 8 silver rays encrusted with diamonds, issuing from a buckled garter bearing the motto and enclosing a white field of enamel with the red cross of St. George upon it. When the collar and Great George are not worn, the Lesser George, as it is called, is used. It is similar to the Great George, but much smaller and hangs from the broad blue ribbon which passes slantwise over the left shoulder. The robes of the order are of equal magnificence. The order became prominent in the 17th century after Charles I added the star to the insignia. On ordinary occasions, the star is worn on the breast and the garter below the knee. Full regalia is only worn when grand chapter meets, or at a ceremony such as a coronation. The order meets at Windsor Castle. So, brethren, we have our badge of white for purity, of lambskin for innocence, more ancient than the Golden Fleece, which was founded in 1429, and the Roman Eagle, which was instituted on 1701, and more honorable than the Garter, which is the highest order of knighthood in the world. I repeat the charge given by the senior warden when investing the badge. Never disgrace that badge. It will never disgrace you. Printed, Virginia Masonic Herald, May through June, 1964. Really cool history. Hope you enjoyed both those pieces. What I find funny was, so now you see the theme of the episode may talk about the apron, but the crux of the issue is alluded to in that last paragraph. Never disgrace that badge. So I really hope you guys liked those pieces.
Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skin Care. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first grandmaster. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out.
So that's it for this week. I hope you all enjoyed. I know it was a little bit shorter this week. I've been super busy with work, and of course kids are back in school, so we're putting everything together there, and I've been doing a lot of writing. If you love to read Masonic papers, please consider checking out the Midnight Freemasons, where we post articles 3 times a week. Usually, I know we did miss Friday last week. Just about every week we have 3 articles on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So be sure to check that out. You can even subscribe via your RSS feed, or you can even ask your Amazon Echo. You can go on there and you can enable the Midnight Freemason skill, and then what you'll have is the Echo will actually read you the last 3 pieces from the Midnight Freemasons. It's a pretty cool option if you'd like to try that out. And if you love this show, then please consider checking out the Masonic Roundtable. We go live every Tuesday at 10/9 Central, and we have some great special guests come on occasion. There's a live chat that we run right alongside the video as it plays on YouTube. We are recording live, so sometimes it feels like a little bit of a Masonic meeting. It's kind of cool. You get to converse with folks in the chat and with us and ask real-time questions that we'll talk about on the show. It's really fun. I hope you guys consider looking into that as something else to add to your Masonic edification. And that's it. So I hope you all enjoyed this week. We'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For once, Came you? I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.